Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Portland Pilot Show. We do this show every Monday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time, and it is a fun show to do. It's fast-paced, it's really informative, and it has a large audience, so you want to stick with us. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell the world, because we're keep growing this show, and I love that fact. I am Gregory Crawford, and you can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops or at www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com. But the real star of this show is Jason Breaux. He is the Associate Athletic Director at University of Portland. He's a terrific person and a terrific professional, and he also happens to be a pilot graduate. And Jason, I haven't asked you that in a long time. I'm sure you teaching her free from. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Greg, how's it going? Can you hear me okay?
I can. I said, I'm sure it's something you cherish and are very proud of, being a pilot graduate.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I graduated in 03, and I've been working in the department ever since, and I take a great sense of pride in everything that we've been able to accomplish, not just in athletics, but as a campus. And as you know, you visited, you see all the brand new shiny buildings that are on campus, and it just really shows the commitment that the university's made to keep the University of Portland, on the front foot, as they like to say in soccer terms, of keeping the university growing and excelling, both just academically in terms of facilities and resources. It's just an exciting time to be a pilot.
And Jason, for people that haven't gone out, you've just got to go out, and you got to go, I guess it would be, the west end of the Child Center, and you've got to look at the Beauchamp Center, because it is spectacular. I love glass buildings. I love the Memorial Coliseum. I love anything that's got glass. And it's just phenomenal, Jason. It's much better than I think anyone would think it would be.
Yeah, and if you get a chance, make sure you walk through it. It's, you know, on the exterior, it looks beautiful, as you mentioned, just facing the Child Center. You can see everyone getting their sweat on and working out on the two-story facility. But when you go in, it'll blow your mind just when you walk around there. Three full-size practice courts. We've already had a couple NBA teams come through to use it for practice before they play the Blazers. More are scheduled to. Our students love it. It's a huge upgrade to the campus, and it just one more added bonus to all the current pilots that are there and all the future students that are going to come through.
Jason, it's been a busy time. Fall sports wrapping up, and then we're heavy duty into basketball. A basketball men's game last night, volleyball tonight, men's game tomorrow night. The women are 20 minutes away at Portland State. It's that time of year that we all dream about.
Yeah, a lot of activity, a lot of fun. And as you know, I travel with men's basketball, and they've had a busy week. We were at Colorado last Friday, come back home, played yesterday, play tomorrow, and then games down in Corpus Christi Friday, Saturday. So five games in 8 days for that crew. Women's basketball, same thing. They had a couple games in Montana this last weekend. As you mentioned, Portland State, two more at home. So volleyball wraps up this week. Yeah, it's a lot going on in the UP athletics world, and basketball is really ramping up.
Well, you know, speaking of men's basketball, Jason, I was kind of in a couple heated discussions last night from the people sitting behind me. We left as friends, but they're all wondering, how could the pilots even schedule a team like Abilene Christian? Well, the fact of the matter is, and I know you know this better than I do, you can't bring in Duke every night.
No, there's a balance there, and quite frankly, this is part of, you know, the Abilene Christian and Alcorn State are two games when we committed to the Corpus Christi Coastal Classic. Part of the deal is you get two host games as one of the, you know, four top-tier teams of that tournament, so us, UTEP, Colorado State and Southern Illinois are considered the top tier A bracket. So the tournament organizers match up teams from the lower tier bracket, and two of those teams are Abilene Christian and Alcorn State. So we knew we were going to get two home games. We just didn't know who it would be. And as a matter of fact, there was a late change. It was going to be Maryland-Baltimore County, but Alcorn State filled their spot. So part of the scheduling, we could have an entire show just about the nuance of scheduling and how to make it work and anything. But part of it is this is part of the greater tournament of the Corpus Christi Coastal Classic. And as you mentioned, you can't play Duke every weekend because, one, they wouldn't come and play us, and, two, you got to have some balance in your schedule. Playing at Colorado was a significant challenge against some teams that have some NBA – against a team that has some NBA bodies. You can't play those – we're not physically set to play those every single game. So the fact that we got a very good Boise State team coming up, the fact that we're playing at the Moda Center and have a lot of home games in December, I think the schedule sets up nice for us.
Yeah, and you stole my thunder there, Jason, but you and I think a lot alike on a lot of subjects. If those people don't like it, come into your neighborhood soon, a tremendous Boise State team.
Yeah, and, we're promoting a great four-game package. As you talk about building a good ticket package and a good offer for $75, starting with Boise State, which was an NCAA tournament team last year and is very well coached and plays an exciting brand of basketball. Former Gonzaga assistant Leon Rice is at the helm there in his third or fourth year now, and he's done a great job. So they're an NCAA tournament caliber team. So we've got them, BYU, who, of course, is a perennial NCAA tournament team, Gonzaga, a top 10 team in the country, and St. Mary's, who just blew up Stanford by 17 at home and is undefeated, and Randy Bennett, just year after year, puts together a great team. You get a four-game package of reserved seats for those four games for $75, which is a great ticket package we have. And so, you can say, for those fans who maybe just want to circle the big-name opponents on the schedule, that's a great package if they want to come out and see four high-level college basketball games.
Last night, Jason, the second part of it was, and I stayed out of it naturally, I take the neutral position always, but they were trying to determine what game they were going to tomorrow night, whether they were going to come to the Chatham Center or whether they were going to go down to Portland State and watch the women play, which that game will be a great rivalry game. And actually, it's kind of fun. It's tough to make that choice, but also it's fun to have, both teams playing in the same town in the same night.
Yeah, we're battling that from a staffing perspective with who's going where tomorrow night and figuring that out and sending some video guys here and some video guys there. It's fun. I wish they were staggered just from a personal perspective so that I'd get a chance to go over and see our girls hopefully beat Portland State tomorrow. But as we mentioned, scheduling is it can be difficult. So just getting all the dates to align up, sometimes you can't have it perfect, have it both ways.
Jason, let's talk a little bit about that game last night. People look at the score and think bad opponent. Might be the case somewhat, but at the same time, I thought the Pilots played really well last night, and I'm so impressed by all the young guys diving on the floor for loose balls. I mean, you got guys coming across the court diving for a loose ball, and I think that sets a tone for the veteran players.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, pretty much every game through the first four games of the season as well as the exhibition, you've seen Coach Reveno use 11, 12 guys, sometimes even 13 guys, and that's no accident. This is probably the deepest University of Portland basketball team that we've had in Coach Reveno's tenure. Maybe not the best, in terms of top-end talent at the first five or six rotation, but, 10th, 11th, 12th guys, and even all the way down to the walk-on, Xavier Allen, are all guys that can play at this level and contribute. So, in some ways, it's a blessing to be able to go that deep. And in other ways, I think Coach Reveno and his staff are going to have to figure out what that rotation looks like as we wind down. But it's a good problem to have. And as you mentioned, healthy internal competition is good. you know, I think, you know, you talk about people might criticize Abilene Christian as not being a good team. You know, I kind of look at it the other way. Yeah, the Pilots came out and ran them out of the gym in the first half, but that was probably the best first half that we played. Everything kind of came together, the defense, the rebounding. We know the offense is going to be there and guys can score. And I thought it was just a really well-played first half by the Pilots that really created separation.
And to validate your point, actually, Abilene Christian outscored the Pilots in the second half.
Yeah, and they were good, like we talked about, you know, rotations-wise, went a little deeper. The game was out of hand. You know, it was funny. We were talking. It was a great student turnout. Again, we had almost 600 students on a Sunday night. But it was a Sunday night. They have school the next day, and I think they saw the 30-some point lead at the half, and a lot of them took off, which you can't blame them for. But as you mentioned, it was a good team effort, and Abilene Christian has pride. Their Division I program, transitioning Division I program, and they came out and played better in the second half.
Jason, as you know, often you come by me at games, and it's probably not a good idea for too many people to come by me because I'm focused and I get in tune and I get in the zone watching a game. One thing I think a young team like the Pilots has got to do, in Coach Reveneau's offense, there are a lot of picks being set, a lot of screens. And some of the ball handlers last night, and that caused some foul problems for the Pilots, were not waiting for the screen. The ball handler should have waited for the screen to get set up. And that's something I think they're probably going to have to work on tomorrow night and the rest of the week.
Yeah, that's something that's continuing. That's a great observation. I mean, the one that specifically comes to mind, I know Phil Hardwich, you know, set a screen, Alec Wintering went a little too quick on an inbound play, and there's a few more like that. Everyone kind of can point out, oh, you know, you had two big guys foul out. They weren't very effective. But to your point, a lot of that's on the guards as well, making sure the guards and the ball handler are giving the person setting them the screen the opportunity to get set. The referees right now are, the emphasis are freedom of movement, so allowing offensive players to run, but also making sure you get set in a call and close contact call. So sometimes, as you mentioned, if the guards aren't allowing the big guys to get set so that they can use the screen properly, the referees are going to call that every time. So that's a good observation that it's not just the big man's fault. A lot of times, and sometimes
right,
more often than not, it's the guard who's going too quick. And that's something they'll get better at. And then the other thing is, you know, it's a very different offensive system that the Pilots are running this year than they've done in the past. So even for the returners, it's a very new system. The four out, you're moving guys like Gabe Taylor, who primarily played a post role last year, out on the perimeter and asking him to do some different things. And there's going to be a natural transition. It's going to take a while. And sometimes when things are going great, like they were in the first half, it looks like the offense is going great. And other times, sometimes the ball gets a little stagnant or it gets sticky in some players' hands, and they got to work through that. But I think as you'll see, as the season goes along, team's going to get much more comfortable within the flow of the offense, and the offensive efficiency is going to get better and better.
Jason, let's change gears here briefly and talk a little bit about tonight, the last home volleyball game against rival Gonzaga. I'm not able to see what the score was because I had a lot of things to do and got home a little bit late, but give us a little report. And as we've documented on this program, no matter what, volleyball at University of Portland is on the move.
Yeah, it's going in the right direction. They lost in three sets today, but I'll put a caveat in there. The Pilots have only one true setter on the roster, and before the game on Thursday, last Wednesday night, they were on the road playing Pacific and St. Mary's down the Bay Area, and the unfortunately broke her hand and is out for the rest of the year. So the Pilots have used an outside hitter who's never played setter in her volleyball playing career as their setter. They were able to still pick up a win at St. Mary's, but against the good Gonzaga team today, it was a little too much. But it was a great effort by the Pilots. Emily Liger, who's the only senior on the roster, she's top 10 in various offensive hitting categories, was recognized as part of senior night tonight. The team has guaranteed itself an above 500 overall record. They're 16-14 going into their final game of the regular season, which is at Seattle. on Friday. So, you know, six conference wins, which is, you know, tied for the most since 1994. The fact that they're going to finish above 500 for the first time in a number of years. As we've talked about throughout this fall, Coach Brent Crouch and his staff and that team have done a great job of changing the culture and putting that program on the right trajectory.
All right. Our segment where listeners can email me questions for Jason. We always get a bunch of them. My staff picks out three good ones, and they do a great job with that. And Jason loves answering them, and we call it the basketball bag rather than the mail bag, because you can email the questions to GregCrawfordBasketball@gmail.com, just like it sounds, one word, GregCrawfordBasketball@gmail.com. First question, Jason, is from Lyle in Spanaway, Washington, and he wants to know, of the last 2 to 3 years, Jason, are some of the guys like Thomas Vandermars, Ryan Nicholas, Kevin Bailey, have they been playing in the pros? And I know people love to catch up on the pilot graduates.
Yeah, absolutely. The most recent class, Kevin Bailey's playing over in Spain. Thomas Vandermars signed. Riley Barker signed in lower-level European leagues, so they're getting paid to play over there. Ryan Nicholas is in a second division Spanish league. And then even going back to some more guys that have established pro careers now, Luke Sikma is playing for one of the best teams in Spain at the highest level, the second-best league in the world. Robin Smelders is playing for a top-level German team that has regularly been in the Euro Cup. Hugh Jetter has had multiple NBA opportunities. You know, he played a little bit for the Sacramento Kings 1 year, but he's getting paid a lot of money to play over in China, so he stayed over there and getting paid millions of dollars to play over there. So, yeah, it's been a Nemanja Mitrovic, Nick Rabio are still over in Europe playing. So there's a good Taishi Ito's in Japan, as I ramble on, they keep coming into my head. There's still a lot of guys that are playing throughout the world, and it's a great opportunity. Kramer Knudsen, who joined the Portland staff this year as a director of basketball operations, you know, hung up his professional basketball shoes. He could have continued playing in England the last 2 years, where he was, you know, the team's best player for a couple different teams in London and Surrey. So there has been a good glut of former players, especially recent players, that have gone over and had successful professional careers over in Europe and various parts of the world.
Galike, you're reading my mind, because the second question, Jason, comes from Carol in Camas, Washington, and she wants to know about Kramer Knudsen and just what is the director of basketball operations. That is a very good question, Carol.
That is a very good question, and again, that's something I could probably spend an entire show working on, and we've had a lot of good ones, as you've gotten to know over the years, you know, starting with Alex Kirk, who served as our first director of ops during Reveno's era and has since gone on to Clark College and led them to unbelievable heights as a head coach over there. Marshall Cho, who's now the head coach of Lake Oswego High School and one of the better guys that you're ever going to meet. Mike Wolf, who's now coaching at Cushing Academy back east as a head coach over there. And now Kramer Knudsen falls in line as the latest director of ops. And basically, they do a lot of the behind-the-scenes work for the basketball staffs, logistics coordination, helping with travel, basically scheduling everything that you can imagine that goes on behind the scenes to allow the coaches to focus more on coaching and less on logistics is the most simple way of explaining what the director of ops does. And Kramer does a really good job. He's a pleasure to be around. He's an unbelievable person. And he's filled in nicely, and he's transitioned nicely into his new professional career.
Very good. And another question, Jason, they continue to flow in from Michael in St. John's. He says, congratulations, Jason. I know you have a lot to do with this. The in-game experience is pretty terrific for the pilots, and he just wants to throw that out. And we chose that because I think it is. And that goes right to you, Jason, and your staff.
Well, I'll give John Brooks and Karina Handelin and our marketing team a lot of credit for that. They've done a good job. John settled in, and a lot of those elements, you know, it takes a lot of pre-planning and environment, you know what I mean, and pre-planning, preparation, and I think our operation has gotten significantly better over the last 5 years, and some of the other areas where I think we're improving is, you know, food service, and we've tried to create some new menu boards, digital menu boards, and, you know, every year try to pick away at some things that some fans have brought to our attention as areas for improvement. You know, I give John Brooks and Cree Hanlon a lot of credit for implementing a lot of these new in-game experiences that fans are appreciating.
Jason, David, thanks for a lot of things. And we want to wish happy Thanksgiving to all our great listeners and everyone associated with this program and the pilots and the pilot alums and family and everybody in the whole world. And, of course, we should give thanks every day. But what's some things that outside of your job that you're thankful for?
Very thankful for my family. You know, it's one of the reasons that I've stayed in the Portland area. A lot of my family lives over in Vancouver, Camas, and sister, niece, and nephew. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to work with my niece and nephew. It's my first basketball coaching gig this year. I've been helping my sister coach my 9-year-old niece's team, and we're undefeated. Not that wins and losses matter, Greg, as you know. But very thankful to have the opportunity to work with them. I got a great family that's supportive, and a great university that I get to work with, and great friends and family around the university. So, you know, I love the fact that, you know, at the game last night, my sister, my niece, nephew, my parents all came out to the game. I look over in Section 4. I got a lot of people I graduated from with the University of Portland with that come out to the game. So I'm always thankful to be able to have those people in my lives and be able to share the University of Portland experience with all those people.
Very good. Terrific answer there, Jason. Okay, Jason, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Where should I go tomorrow night?
Well, here, I'll give you I'm not normally one to drive people to other games, but if you go to the Portland State game, what you can do is then get on your phone or get on your computer, and you can watch a nice 4 or 5 camera stream with instant replays and graphics of the University of Portland versus Alcorn State games. You get the best of both worlds. You can watch in person as the Pilots take on the Vikings, and then watch a TV quality feed that we're producing, you know, on the W.TV, and catch all the games and not miss a thing. So don't tell everybody else that, but that's what I'd suggest for you, Greg, because I know you want to be able to be involved and know what's going on at both places.
Yeah, I certainly do. And if I do go to Portland State, which I don't think I will, it will be the only pilot game, home game, that I miss all year. So that's a pretty good record.
That is pretty good. And we would give that one an excused absence, Greg. If you do decide to do that, we won't hold that against you.
Yeah, very good. I appreciate that. Always appreciate everything you do for me, Jason. And speaking of appreciation, when Alcorn State, they're not a basketball power. They've got a new coach. They're improving. They're actually on APR probation, I believe. I think I read that a couple weeks ago. But, you know, that's why you play the games. And in college basketball, the parity, tonight I think, what was it, Southern Mississippi, Jason, lost to a Division II or III team. The parity in college basketball is incredible.
Oh, absolutely. You saw Northern Iowa, which is a very good program, you know, knock off North Carolina. That Northern Iowa team at home a few days earlier lost to Colorado State, and Colorado State, a team that we're going to face on Friday. So it just shows any given day, anything can happen. You know, you've seen it even with our team where, you know, if we played the way we played at UC Davis, Abilene Christian might not have looked like that bad of a team yesterday, but instead we played really well, and, you know, people are questioning how good that team is. So every game you have to be prepared. You see it at the Division I level. Every team has players capable of going off and scoring big time, and that's what makes college basketball great.
Yeah, absolutely. Jason, give our listeners, I think, around the world, and how's this, Jason? 19 countries people are listening to this program. That's pretty fabulous, showing the popularity of this program. But give them a little flavor. You've got a condensed week, and unlike coaches, you've got to think ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the fact that we've got Thanksgiving and we'll be on the road, so, you know, my job's a lot of preparation for tomorrow and then getting ready to go on the road and making sure everything's set for the Corpus Christi Challenge. Looking forward to it. So the good thing is the fall sports will be in the rearview mirror and allows me to focus on basketball as we head into this winter season.
Yeah, and Jason Emmett, you know, my great friend Dale Scott, 30th year he just completed as a major league umpire, one of the best umpires ever at baseball, has a great saying that traveling nowadays is hurry up to wait. Are you kind of just in that mode where you're comfortable with traveling, or is it still tough for you and everybody else?
No, I mean, I enjoy it. You know, it's for me specifically, the fact that it's primarily during basketball season, you know, it's about a three-month endeavor where you're kind of all over the place. But for the most part, we travel to good places that are easy to get to and easy to get out. The WCC cities, you know, Spokane, L.A., San Diego, the Bay Area, they're all good cities to be in, and you look forward to going to them. I've never been to Corpus Christi, so that's a new experience. So, you know, my job has afforded me the opportunity to see places I probably would have never seen before. And so I always look forward to traveling. And plus, it's a good group of guys, a good staff to travel with. So we always have fun on the road.
Terrific. And I want to throw this out before we leave tonight. Now, Jason gave me a pass. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet, but I'm going to be definitely, if I go to Portland State, I'm going to be streaming the game. So I'm going to get my phone ready. That's going to be exciting, although I may wind up out on the bluff. You just never know with me. But go to one of those games, listeners, if you're in the area. Go to Portland State, support the women's team down there, big rivalry game, or go out and support the men's team at Alcorn. Against Alcorn State, 7 p.m. tip. It'll be a good ball game, I'm sure of that. Jason, I wanted to, in closing tonight, I know you follow the league. On the men's side, has anything jumped out at you so far in looking over what's happening with the West Coast Conference men's basketball?
Yeah, you know, it's been a tough start to the season overall. As you look at some teams, you know, even the Pilots losing at UC Davis, Pepperdine losing a couple games, you know, as you think they're an upstart. And what's funny is it always seems to come back to the teams that generally are at the top have always rise to the top. And Randy Bennett, you can never count him out. Everyone thinks they're going to be down. They lose five starters, and of course they beat Stanford by 17 and are undefeated. I mean, Gonzaga is where you'd expect them to be. BYU had a head-scratching loss at Long Beach State, but that's a good program. So Santa Clara's had a rough go of it, 0-5. I think what you'll see is, as we get closer to December, teams are going to start picking it up. I saw Pepperdine had a good win against Duquesne at the Florida Gulf Coast Showcase. I think it looks like the Pilots are getting back in order. So, you know, on the whole, when you look at the conference, not a great start overall. But I think you're going to see a lot of teams kind of, as we start to approach in December for conference play, putting it all together. And, you know, especially a team like the Pilots with so many new faces and integrating a new offensive system, I think you're going to see the Pilots peak as they enter conference play.
Very good. Happy Thanksgiving. And one of my favorite wrestling announcers of all time, Jason, was Gorilla Monsoon. He had the great line always, a fountain of misinformation. Well, I'm going to flip that about Jason Bro. Jason Bro, you just took a snapshot. You are a fountain of information, that recap you gave of the league. Unbelievable. Terrific. Every night you drive this program every Monday night. Happy Thanksgiving to you and happy Thanksgiving to our listeners. And we'll catch up with you very soon, Jason.
Thanks, Greg. Happy Thanksgiving. And if I don't see you tomorrow, I'll see you soon.
Very good. Terrific. That's Jason Bro, the Associate Athletic Director at University of Portland, who drives this show to prominence, I might add, and does a terrific job. Good night, everybody, and definitely happy Thanksgiving, and be thankful for what you have, and go out and make a difference. Go out and make a difference this week. Go out every day, 365 days a year. Make a difference in somebody's life. Good night, everyone. Don't forget to make your free throws.